Hello, this is Oscar. You are listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Centering, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. The time, 6:17 p.m. Central Standard Time. April 26, 2018. This is episode 102, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. My name is Tim. Hello, how are you? Alongside me, as always, we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey, guys. Happy draft day. Good luck to your Lions, Tim, and Anuj. I'm ready to be drunk this whole season.
Wait, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm not a Lions fan.
Yeah, I know.
So good luck to
it's
us.
Not any better.
Yeah.
Not any better.
It's in our backyard, man.
It is. And we're here. Talking esports, doing what we know best. Hello, Anuj, how are you?
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Doing the show a little late. We normally do it on Wednesdays, but Anuj had to make steaks for dinner, and I'm not even lying about that.
He's getting dinner ready for the wife.
Uh-huh.
Good day.
You don't want to, like, elaborate?
No, we just had some steaks that we had already thawed out, and I didn't want them to go bad.
He doesn't conform to gender roles, all right?
And you thought, hey, I don't love the listeners.
We had
me and Brett care about the listeners. We were like, we're ready to do this show, steak or no steak. But Anuj was like, F the listeners.
We had a guy coming to give us a quote to do some work in our backyard, so that also threw a kink in the timings. So it's not just the food, you guys, okay? It was more to it. A little bit more to it.
The steaks were made?
Oh. Hey! Follow us on Twitter at TheCentering. Let us know what you think of the show. You can hit us up through our little email on our website, tcr.gg. You can also find the links to Discord and all that fun stuff there. Get in on the conversation. Things like that. Follow us on Twitch. Just look The Center Ring on Twitch. You'll find us there. You can also find the link on our website. Go figure. We do stream the episodes live every week when we do record it. So, you know, if you're ever into that, do so there. But let's get into this episode because I do believe it is the best episode ever. We're going to end with e-news as always, summing up some stories that we just don't have time to get to, nor really want to, you know, not enough there to talk about. So we'll get into e-news to end the show, as always. We are going to talk about some Battleground games, because they're here to stay, gentlemen. It seems like just a couple months ago we had the discussion, is PUBG going to make it in esports? Like, is Fortnite really that popular? And I think we've got that answer, so we'll talk about that later on in the show. But to start, let's get into some Counter-Strike. We talked about it last week with DreamHack Masters Marcel. Is that how we decided to say that word?
Marseille.
Whatever.
Dumb American.
You know it. You know it. Sorry, I said it with my freedom accent. You know, we just put that L on there. Marseille did wrap up, though, so we'll talk a little bit about that, and in the same time, kind of just preview IEM Sydney at the same time, because we're professionals like that. We can do two things at once. I do want to start here, though. So in Marseille, the finals were Astralis versus Na'Vi. I think last week, we talked about, it was just like groups weren't even finished yet, right?
So like, yeah, we were like day one of tournament.
Yeah, so day one of tournament, some things happened. I guess let's start there. I lied. We're not going to talk about Astralis right off the bat. My prediction were correct. Mousesports did end up 2-0-ing SK Gaming. Is it time to be a little concerned with Stewie?
I still think it's early. I mean, they talked about some of the struggles, and it looks like, you know, some of the players are still not even comfortable really calling in English at all. And then Stewie kind of mentioned this in his interview with was it with HLTV? I don't know who he did it with. I believe it was with HLTV. But he was even saying, like, you know, players like Cold Zera and these guys don't communicate as much now because they're not as comfortable. And so they're still kind of getting used to one another. Right now, he's just playing his old spots, and they're trying to integrate him into more of the role they envision him being in. And so I think that's just going to take a little bit of time. And
did that discussion, though, not come up before Stewie joined the team? Like, hey, guys, we might want to just start calling in English, or at least remotely getting used to it. Like, if it almost, I mean, I get it. Stewie, you want Stewie, you go get Stewie, and then you figure it out then. But we all know the timetable in Counter-Strike. We know it's, you know, you normally get about 6 months at the longest if you're in a rough spot.
I feel like 6 months is a long time.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you would give. But I think 6 months is what you would give a player like Stewie, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're really struggling.
G2 stuck around for a year, you know, with that squad, and they struggled for so long. And so I don't think it's a 6 month in and out type thing for him personally.
I mean, if you just look at SK and Anuj, I agree with you. If you look at SK historically, you know, the tournament where they picked up Fox, when they first picked up Bolts, I mean, they struggle when they bring in that fifth, but they tend to figure things out. So I think it's still a little early. Give it a few more tournaments, see how they look, and then, you know, they can start to push the panic button, because
I'll be the first.
Such is life in CS.
I will be the conductor of that train, because I'm starting to see a little bit of smoke. A little bit of smoke out of the SK gaming house.
Well, you kind of look at their track record, and with them, like, they never really wanted to get rid of FNX to begin with, right? Like, that was just a pure FNX being the person, you know, having the personality issues that he had with the team, and it was almost like a forced change. And they've kind of stayed fairly consistent after that. They had Phelps for a decent amount of time. It's not like that was a short stint with them. I don't think they're a team that wants to make too many changes. It's kind of just fine tuning the machine, and you give them a little bit of time, and if Cold Zera comes back to the level that he was playing at, which is tough to do because playing and being the best in the world is hard to do, they will have, you know, they'll get back to their form and be competing in finals, I don't think, in too long.
The one saving grace is because you do have that language barrier excuse, right? Like, it'll probably buy them a little bit more time, knowing that it's not like the team is blaming Stewie. It's not like anything he can do. It's easier for them to adjust to English than it is for him to adjust to Portuguese.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a weird language. It's sometimes it's very hard to understand.
Well, here's our Portuguese expert, Brett.
If you don't speak Portuguese, obviously freaking hard to understand. It's hard to understand any of, if they started speaking in Urdu or something, that'd be pretty damn hard.
No, but I mean, I could pick up, but just the Portuguese. You know what? Move on. Just move on.
Hey man, you had the stage.
To language, it is. It's hard to pick up.
Like, we should do a show on like ranking the most difficult languages, right? Like, so maybe like where would Chinese be on this list?
I'm telling you, we'll do it,
dude. All any right,
put it on,
any
put it
Asian,
on the TCR.
Any give me any Asian that will be the final four will
like
all
Mandarin.
Be. Yeah.
It'll be between Mandarin and Portuguese.
And like Japanese? You know, I've watched so many anime, and I still can't tell you a word without reading subs.
Your best friend, is, you know, speaks Japanese. You have right there.
He did it to go get booty. He didn't do it to, like, train me.
And he got it, too. He brought one home.
He got it. He brought one home with him.
Awesome.
So what were we talking about?
SK.
Stewie getting a pass.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
That's my only pass right now is the language barrier. But dude, they are on my radar to keep an eye on, because I said going into it, if they didn't make it to the playoffs, that it's not like realistically, you're right, it hasn't been long enough. But it's the way they've performed, it's at least warrants some attention, I think.
Yeah. It does, but I mean, you've got a core three that have won several majors, and you're inserting Bolts. That is, I mean, Bolts has been there for a while; he's solid. But you're also inserting, you know, Stewie, who just won a major. So, I mean, I'm willing to give him a few tournaments. Just give him a few tournaments, see if it passed the eye test.
I think
and
Sydney
then, you know,
will be a good measurement going into it, because I am Sydney coming up. It's it's pretty much a gimme for half the teams there. Like, let's be real. You have the invited teams versus the qualifying teams, and the qualifier teams, take out Astralis, are all pretty weak teams to be playing in a tournament of that caliber. So it's like,
I've heard of a few of these.
SK is playing Tyloo in round one. So they should, I mean, if we're going off of who we think SK is, right? The talent on the roster should be able to handle Tyloo. If they can't, you got to give me at least that, right?
Like, okay, then all right. If they lose to Tyloo, then I'm willing to push the panic button right then and there. All right.
Okay.
If they lose, yeah. Okay, I'm with you, Tim.
That would be pretty worrisome. That wouldn't be a good start for him. Now, I think what's kind of cool, what's going to help SK a little bit, is Dust2 coming back into the map pool.
I can't wait.
It comes back for IEM.
It's SK the first tournament back where it's that's going to be back for.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nuge. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, every team's going to be like relatively, you know, I don't think teams have really been practicing it that much. I know this was a big argument on Twitter recently of like how they implemented it, but everybody knew it was coming back into the map pool soon, right?
And you know,
it
hasn't changed that much.
Still, it's changed. I get it. Like, lineups and all that will be different. But you have a couple of weeks, you know, go out, just play it. Like, everyone's just whining about it. Like, the fans want it. I want it.
This is enough to kind of bring me back. But I already know what's going to happen. Because, you know, at night when I'm going to bed, I'll watch FPL. And none of the NA guys pick Dust2. That's like, it's almost an instant, you know, elimination. Like, they don't play that map. So I know what's going to happen in this tournament. Everyone's going to ban it. No one's going to play it. It's like, come on.
And I guess that's one of the luxuries of the banning system. But they got rid of Cobble, which is huge. I mean, Cobble was a staple map that was every tournament, every match, it seemed like it. So to finally get rid of that map.
It'll just be fresh, because Cobble was, even though it was like, you have a lot of exciting games, and I was a fan of it early on, it is the same executes every time.
Question.
There's no creativity.
They're taking Cobble out of the competitive pool as far as like tournament wise, but is that also Valve doing? Like, is Valve working on another remake of Cobble?
Then what's the point? Just
no, I think that's what it does. It goes back into the workshop. I believe that's what happens every time.
Well, I know that's what happens every time on the Valve. I didn't know if this was just tournament organizers saying, okay, we're ready to put you know, Dust2 in, and we're banning Cobble because it gets picked too much, you know? I didn't know if it was like a league.
Yeah, I mean, don't 100% quote me on it, but I think that's generally what happens at this point now, is they go back in and remake it.
Okay. So we'll see what happens now. That's a good point. I forgot that Dust2 was being brought back. So that will be pretty fun to watch.
If we get to see it.
If we get to see it. That's right. That's right. And other kind of, I don't know, I didn't watch the match, so there's not a whole lot to say. I know Gambit, though, beat Team Liquid in a 2-1. They ended up coming back and defeating Team Liquid. This was, you know, of course, Steel no longer being on the team. Steel ended up signing Luminosity?
Yeah, Luminosity.
So he's...
Him and Zach, former coach of... he was like the former coach, wasn't he? Of Luminosity at one point.
Bro, I don't have the coach. The former coaches of Luminosity.
Well, they signed him too, so him and Steel both going over there.
I do not have that knowledge
to you,
me
our,
at the
our
ready.
CS expert.
What do y'all think about
our Brazilian expert, our Portuguese scene?
What did y'all think about what's kind of sad at this tournament is for this being in France, we didn't have a French team make it.
No, Envious. Well, I said that last week. It sucked that Envious and G2 were both in Group A. FaZe ended up knocking out Team Envious. So then you had Cloud9 and FaZe in that group. You know, it sucks because you always like seeing the home team play, obviously, on their home soil, but it's not surprising.
No, it's not. I mean, you got Envious now playing in a, what, relegation match?
Like, let's be real.
AGO and Pro League. So
the only reason Envious was able to make it as far as they did with this tournament was because they got to play G2 for the decider match. But whoever won that decider match, I don't think that result was going to be any different. I think FaZe was going to beat G2 or Envious, whoever they had to.
G2 keeps on beating G2. I don't know what's going on with those guys.
Going into the finals, though, you had Gambit And no. Fnatic get third and fourth. Gambit actually had a pretty good showing. They ended up beating Cloud9 2-0 and ended up losing to Na'Vi, which is turning out to be not anything to be ashamed of. I'm not going to lie.
Playing God Simple, dude.
I haven't. Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't watched enough Gambit recently to even have an opinion on what's going on with their roster. I mean, I know they got seized. I mean, they are using. Seized is now being the shot caller. I know that.
Yeah, and Adrenaline hasn't been the same player. Adrenaline and Hobbit really haven't been the same players that they have been since their major run. And without Adrenaline kind of peaking, this team's going to struggle because they just don't have enough firepower. And so they're doing, I mean, they had a good showing at this tournament. I don't know how consistent we'll really see them being, though.
And then in the finals, you had Astralis and Na'Vi. Astralis defeating Na'Vi 2-0, which was kind of a disappointment. Nuge, as you just alluded to, how Simple has just been the LeBron James of CSGO recently, where Na'Vi, I feel like, is overachieving because of how Simple is playing.
Yeah, I mean, well, this tournament was a little different because I really felt like, you know, I got to watch a lot of Na'Vi, surprisingly. I didn't get to watch too many of the overall games, but I watched a decent amount of them. And it was nice because, like, Electronic actually showed up and was pretty impressive throughout the tournament. He finished with a really high rating, like a 1.3 plus rating. You know, I don't know the exact number, but he finished with a really high rating in the tournament and was easily looking like that second star that they needed him to be. And overall, even Flamey, Zeus, and Edward, you know, they played well and did enough in the tournament to like look like a good team. You know, they actually looked really impressive, and you hope to see this kind of carry over and transition. Astralis, on the other hand, was dominant. They didn't drop a map in the playoffs. So once it got into playoff stage for them, they 2-0'd FaZe, 2-0'd Fnatic, 2-0'd Na'Vi, and looked super dominant, which is awesome for that team because they were looking really good online, you know, prior going into this tournament. So it's good to see a carryover and not just be a little run. I mean, they were really, really looked good in this tournament, and Majisk looked real good, so MSL is looking a little worse, I think, right now.
So I wanted I'll use this as a segue to talk about the one offshoot topic that I wanted to talk about with CSGO, and that's like the ranking system, right? I think for the most part, we all look at HLTV to kind of be that deciding factor, and I understand that they have their formula to look at how they figure out the rankings, right, the world rankings. Just last week, though, we were talking about how, you know, Mouse Sports was number 3 in the world. They're looking really hot. I think, what, SK
number
was...
number 2.
Eighth, or were they number...
Yeah, Mouse was number 2 last week.
Okay, so even more to my point, right? Now, after this one tournament, according to how HLTV calculates their rankings, Astralis is number 1. They moved up 4 spots. Fnatic is number 2 now. They went up 1. FaZe dropped 2 for they're at number 3. Na'Vi is number 4 in the world, going up 2 spots. Mouse Sports dropped to 5th.
Yeah, these guys jumped a crazy amount. Like, Astralis jumped 4 spots after the tournament win was... I mean, that seems like a lot, right? I mean, that
it seems ridiculous.
If Mouse isn't making out of groups, and, you know, they just, you know, totally look terrible in that tournament, then yeah, I understand. But I mean, they made it to the playoff and they played Na'Vi, who made it to the finals. I don't understand. Yeah, I'm with you guys.
This is where when world rankings is solely determined off of the numbers, right? And I get, like, logically that would probably be the way you should do it, just by, hey, here's an algorithm and this is how you do it, right? But I guess this is kind of where people always complain with college football, but in a way it's what makes sense to me, is that you do need some opinion in this. After one tournament, you cannot tell me Astralis is number 1 in the world. You can't convince me that Astralis is the number 1 team in the world.
The problem is there hasn't been any one, so I agree with you.
You're just about to take the words out of my mouth, so I'll let you.
Yeah, there hasn't been one team that really earned the number 1 spot at this point. I don't think anybody can stand there and be like, we're the best team in the world right now. So I think that's part of it, and we're seeing so much fluctuation in the top 10 because all of these guys are, you know, beating one another. Mm-hmm. You don't have one team that's steamrolling.
No, and I agree. That's exactly what I was about to say. Is like, I don't think Astralis is number one in the world, but if you ask me to like name my definitive who is number one, I don't know if I really have like a solid answer for you on that one. Just because, like you said, Anu, just every team is every tournament seems to be drastically different going into it, and I think that's why with Sydney coming up, it's going to be such an important tournament for most of these teams there, because these invited teams, Cloud9, FaZe, Fnatic, Mouse Sports, Na'Vi, SK, and then Renegades obviously getting the nod for being the home team there. I mean, those right there out of the, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then Astralis qualified, so that's 7. So that's 7 teams in the top 10 in the world right now. So, like, this...
Yeah, and...
They really can't afford either, though. Like, to my point, with these teams that qualified, MVP, Tyloo, Chiefs Esports, Order, Greyhound, Boot, like, they cannot afford to lose to any of those to even be considered a top 10 team.
And I guess maybe we're maybe looking at the ranking system a little, like, we're looking at it now a little bit too soon because, you know, Major just happened. We have all of our roster changes, all of our roster, you know, mashups, mix-ups. And then I'm with you, Tim. Like, this Sydney tournament is going to be like, okay, these guys have played on these teams for a few tournaments now since the roster changes. We should be able to see kind of like what they're going to be, you know, before, you know, next major. So, yeah, I mean, this is a good, you know, kind of what's the word I'm looking for?
Measuring stick.
There we go, Tim. What a guy.
I mean, all the main teams need to make it out of groups in that, because there are a lot of, let's be honest, like pretty trash teams competing in the tournament, which I'm a little surprised that they did like three Asia teams and three Oceania teams. Like,
I mean, what's an order?
It's
order?
Sydney, though. That's their thing, though, right? They're all of those are like Order, Chiefs, Greyhound. Those are New Zealand teams, so they're obviously... I get it. They're catering.
Three spots seems like a lot. Like, I mean, two would have been pretty good, and then you add another top two teams in the world into the mix. Like, that would have been...
It seems like a lot for an IEM event, right? Normally, I mean, this is part of that challenge, right, where you win four and you get a million. So it's not going to be a slouch of a tournament, but it almost seems like they pretty much set it up for Championship Sunday, and the rest is kind of just for the home crowd.
That's pretty much what it is, yeah.
I'm interested to see what NRG is going to do.
Oh, yeah.
That's a team that'll be fun to watch.
They put up the best record, I think, ever for ECS in a season, 17-1.
Dang. So yeah, I mean, see how they do. See if they're for real. You know
who they lost to?
They're playing against FaZe, Na'Vi, SK,
Cloud9.
They lost themselves.
Lost themselves.
Cloud9. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. When does this tournament start? May 1st. So that is next Tuesday. Is that right?
Yeah, 1st through the 6th, then you know, Sunday being Championship Sunday, they're on the 6th.
Okay, so that starts next week. I can promise you, being that it's in Australia, I will probably see none of it, except for maybe like the last 30 minutes, because, you know, they're on the other side of the planet, and they don't play to cater to Americans.
How dare they?
Rude. Rude.
Rude.
Let's get into this Battlegrounds talk, though, if you gentlemen don't mind. So, as I said in the show intro, it seems like just a couple weeks ago, we were discussing Fortnite and will it be the next big esports, and every time you bring up that discussion, right, it always turns into a, do Battlegrounds, right? Where is the appeal with Battlegrounds? Now, I am the only one brave enough on this show to say that Fortnite sucks. I have the courage to face the masses and tell them they're wrong and the game sucks. But, you know, every generation needs one, and I'm willing to step up.
Oh, great.
But apparently my opinion doesn't matter when it comes to Battleground games, because it's really, don't get me wrong, it's not just Fortnite that sucks. To me, H1Z1 sucks, PUBG sucks. The Battleground genre to me... is not entertaining. But that's my opinion.
Get off Tim's lawn. Get off Tim's lawn, Battleground games.
It happens all the time, right? I remember when we were younger, RTSs were like the huge thing in esports. StarCraft, Warcraft, those were like top dogs. Then it went to FPS, where every game that came out, you had every other cookie-cutter FPS out there. And then Dota happened, League of Legends, and then you saw every cookie-cutter become a little type of MOBA with, oh, here's this unique thing. And now it seems like Battlegrounds is the new thing. But I don't want to
MOBAs really haven't gone anywhere.
No, I'm not saying those other ones have gone anywhere, right? They've all made their corner. Same thing like with FPS. FPS now has its forever little home in esports. They will never go anywhere. Like, even where people are saying, like, I think what Pimp said something about, like, oh, Counter-Strike is going to fail and here's why or something like that. Even in Counter-Strike's darkest hours, it's still going to be one of the most popular esports.
It will, I think, but I also think Pimp had a point that the game, and I was, you know, even I commented on this on Twitter earlier this week, like, I still think the game is starting to feel more stale. Because they're not doing frequent updates, they're not doing, you know, whether it be operations, they need to do, like, new maps, like, kind of just freshen it up a little bit and be more active and involved, because it seems like Counter-Strike is the most ignored of any of the major games that you kind of see out there.
Right.
But that's like another topic, I understand, but like,
let me ask you though, just for one question on that topic. Are you saying that as a spectator or are you saying that as a player?
Let's, as a player.
Okay. See, and that's where I differentiate, where I agree as a player. I mean, I haven't touched Counter-Strike in months because it's the same opinion like you have. It's like, I just don't have the desire to sit here and grind out competitive again on awful like 64 tick server. And, yeah, right.
I don't want to split my matches between MM and FACEIT because I like having like my stats and all that stuff to be able to look at. It's just, they've never done any of this type of crazy integration and upgrade the system and do it like for the players. As a viewer, eventually I feel like, you know, the same maps might get a little old, but I don't think the viewers care about that as much.
No. But now you have the new shiny toy, which seems to be Battleground games, right? Battle Royale games. It started out... The first one I can honestly remember, well, was DayZ, right? You had the DayZ mod, which Arma had the, I say DayZ, it's Arma. Arma had like the Battlegrounds mod to it. That's the first time I ever remember seeing it.
Then it became a standalone after that.
Yeah.
Well, DayZ came a standalone, but the mod was still Arma for the Battle Royale.
Yeah. Yeah, watching like, you know, that's where I first started watching Smack was on Arma 3 Battleground games, like,
and then
fun to watch.
H1 pretty much.
And then H1Z1 came out, which was going to be a survival game, and then also had the Battle Royale, right? Because survival was a huge thing back then. That survival open world survival game.
And we had that CW33 experience.
Yep, and then that was the first time where you were like, oh, wow, this Battle Royale game, it's pretty popular, and they ended up splitting up, right? It turned into H1Z1 King of the Kill and H1Z1 Survival, right?
Yeah.
Where they were like, wow, this is getting so popular, we're not even going to focus on the survival anymore. They split it up, said they were going to focus on two teams. Yeah, right, that survival thing. They completely ditched it altogether. It's not even a thing anymore. Like,
I don't even think it has a community, to be honest.
No, I'm pretty sure they killed off the servers.
We came in when King of the Kill, like when I say we, myself and the ones that I played with at that time, came in when King of the Kill was like its own thing.
Okay, so Brett and I played it when it was back when H1Z1 first came out. Like, we were early access. We were pretty hardcore about H1Z1. Like, we played it a lot. Then they split it up into the BG. We also played that a lot. And we were like, damn, this is pretty cool. Again, Brett, you mentioned it went on TV. And we were like, oh, God. If this is what Battle Royale games look like on esports, I want nothing to do with it. Because it was
A terrible taste in our mouth, like, right from the beginning.
Pre-recorded.
The viewing was bad.
Golden Glove was terrible.
And it just looked like wrestling in video game form. Like, the trash talking looks so forced.
And we're past that, right?
It's just like,
what was
this?
Was it the CSL? What was that on G4 Network? It was like a esports competitive show. And they did that, right? They tricked it up where it was very wrestler in esports. And we're past that time, right? We don't need to trick up esports anymore. We're a mature crowd, people.
It's good the way it is.
Right.
Yeah.
The game is good enough.
And then, so what ended up happening, and this is getting more into just how these games came about, and then we'll get into more esports. But then the lead guy who kind of designed H1Z1, right? Players Unknown. He left them and made his own game, Players Unknown Battlegrounds, which is kind of why he was also the part of what made the Battleground mod. So H1Z1 hired him off from there to make their game. They ended up going a different route than what he wanted to, so he left and made PUBG. Okay,
that's like kind of the H1 killer at that point.
Yes, and at the time, everyone was like, H1Z1's done, F that, going to PUBG. PUBG, that was hitting the ground, that was super popular.
Still is,
absolutely. And then comes Fortnite. Now, Fortnite was another game that started out as this type of
survival building game, basically.
Yep, it started out as that, and then they came out with their own standalone for what now people come to know as Fortnite Battle Royale, completely again forgetting what their baby game was, which was this survivor building game. And so again, showing that Battle Royale, it's a free to play. It was the first one that went free to play like this. They have skins, right? They made, what, like $250 million last month alone?
Whoa, they made $800 million last month, and now reports are coming in for this like, that was for March, or for February. Reports are coming in for March that it was near $1 billion they made in the month.
Oh, God. That's insane. Unreal.
And what's really skyrocketed their popularity was... really, I think this was the turning point, is when Drake tweeted out that he's playing with Ninja. Ninja's a former Halo pro, but obviously now he makes his living off of streaming Fortnite and looking like a meth head deprived of sleep. So they ended up hosting, I guess they. Who explained to me this, because I honestly, I don't follow Ninja at all.
So
esports are oh, go ahead.
Are you talking about like who did he end up playing with?
Yeah, what was this event last week that was kind of like the first showing of... Because really, so let me steal one thing here from you. So PUBG, they've done charity tournaments and everything here, and we'll get into it all again. But this was like the first time Fortnite was kind of organized anything as an event.
Yeah, so basically what they did was the Ninja Vegas 2018. It was at the new like MLG arena in... the MGM, I think, right? And sure. So they have this like huge esports arena over there now, and basically they hosted this event, and it was casted by Dr. Lupo, who's a huge Fortnite streamer, Jack Courage, like Courage from MLG, who's now like doing his streaming and playing for Optic. Anyways, they hosted this event, these guys casted it, it was on Ninja stream. It was basically a mix of a charity event and then like the first showing of competitive side of Fortnite. And basically the way it worked is if Ninja won a game, $2,500 would get donated to the charity of his choice. And on the flip side, if an opponent won the game, they got $2,500 for themselves. And there was a bounty. If you killed Ninja, you also got $2,500. So there's a lot of money up for play in each game, you know, roughly $7,500. Available per game, and they played 9 games total. And so this thing hit a total of like it hit at one point 600,000 viewers. It was consistently at 500K though. I mean that was just kind of a flat line number that it was running at. I don't know if y'all watched it. I thought it was super, you know, entertaining to watch. I actually really enjoyed it, and part of that is Courage is an awesome caster, and Lupo's got a good personality, so it was fun. But I mean, I would say they thought it was like I felt it was a huge success, you know.
I mean, yeah, 500,000. That's
yeah. If you can keep 500,000 concurrent, that's
like where that's... Fortnite is going to differ from everything else is like none other has that type of celebrity power, right? Like Ninja doesn't even have to be a pro Fortnite player. I mean, that's all he plays. So thankfully, if he ever wanted to like be at these tournaments, which I think these tournament organizers would be insane to not to try to get him to play in them, right? Like, say that Fortnite does go this route. Fortnite's in this weird stage where there are pro teams, like organizations are signing players to play Fortnite for them.
Yeah, like FaZe, Optic, TSM, all these guys got teams.
There hasn't been any word of a professional Fortnite league.
And they need to capitalize on that, like, right now, right?
Bro,
like,
I don't think they need to be in any rush.
And They don't
Other you know, Battleground games are starting to kind of force the issue. Like H1Z1 comes out with their pro league, and then, you know, PUBG has their $2 million tournament. Like, they're pushing. Fortnite needs to build on this momentum, and like, okay,
they're obviously, it's kind of taking, like, let's look at this from the Blizzard approach, right? Like, they're obviously putting something together because they know this is the route that it's going.
Right.
The teams know this is the route that it's going. That's why they got these teams, right?
Also, going the Blizzard approach is they made a fun game first, and now they're making it into an esports. Like, Overwatch, and Blizzard will tell you this till their face is blue, was not made for the purpose of being an esport. They made Overwatch to be a fun game. Once they saw the popularity, said, okay, let's get into esports.
Like, hey, people are playing, people are watching. Like, now,
let's do this. We
know at least be consistent.
So PUBG...
Fortnite...
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to... Well, no, go ahead. You're fine. You're fine.
Okay. So PUBG, you know, like, as Brett just mentioned, so they just announced, like, the other day that PUBG is doing their first... And I didn't know this. This is their first actual event as PUBG is sponsoring. I guess all the others were just ESL or DreamHack events.
Well, they had the Invitationals, yeah. Like,
but I guess that was never actually PUBG doing it.
Oh, okay.
That was just their blessing. They're
allowing organizers to host events.
Yeah, okay. So see, I never knew that until I read the release on this. So PUBG is actually doing their first global Invitational sponsored by them. It's going to be July 25th through July 29th in Germany, where they're going to invite 20 teams out there for, get ready, $2 million prize pool.
Gosh.
All right. So
more than
$2 million prize pool. That's impressive, but good God, please have a better scoring system and make it more transparent before the event starts.
So
like,
have you watched the kind of pro league for PUBG?
No, I haven't watched.
They've drastically improved it. Okay. I will, like I said, I've been a hater on Battle Royale games since the get-go, even though I play them. I don't enjoy myself at all. But it's like, you know, I'm on a diet just stuffing my face with pizza. That's what I feel like when I play PUBG or any Battlegrounds game. I digress. They have drastically improved the spectator experience with PUBG, like almost to the point where I say it's enjoyable.
Yeah, they're making the smaller map. They're making changes to tailor it towards esports, I feel, which is good. And you see PUBG making those initiatives, and they released a big patch today, too. So they're gearing up, and I think the smaller map is really going to help because people want fast-paced action and not third-person.
Yeah. But see, it's weird. It seems like none of these developers are in a rush.
Yeah.
And the genre is here to stay.
Yeah, I get the viewership experience by far is number one. Get that solved, great. But secondly, I just hate watching these games and just watching people playing for points. Like, I mean, the point system, is it geared more towards kills now, or
I'd be lying to you if I said I know how it works.
Like because in H1, like, there's nothing more frustrating. In H1, for example, it was 1 point per kill. If you got what they called, I believe it was a melee kill, that counted as like 10 points. And then if you got a win, that was also, I believe, 10 points. And so there's incentive for kills, but you can also make up a decent amount of points by obviously winning. Maybe winning was a little bit less than 10, but it was right around there.
Yeah, in order for Battleground games to work from a viewership standpoint, like they have to like gear the game more towards like winning, great, but like fragging. It should be, in my opinion, number one. Like, I don't care if a team wins and they camp, you know, an underground bunker for the entire map, right? Like, no one feels good about watching that. I want to see action. I want to see kills. I want to, you know.
So I'm looking up here to see if I can't find anything on the point system. I mean I know they're gearing it more towards it, so I mean I don't want to make a huge deal like, okay, you got a kill, because obviously everyone wants to see a kill, but if we don't know if they've changed it, I don't want to destroy them.
Yeah,
for
go
it.
Too far. I'm just saying, like, that ultimately no one's going to enjoy, and Tim, we, you know, we watched PUBG tournaments, and I can honestly say I have not enjoyed any of them because of, you know, the
play style.
Survive, yeah, the play style.
But I mean,
the
clearly,
ESL event they did was like so boring,
right? But clearly, like, something is appealing to it, or something has changed for any of these, though. You can say the same thing about Fortnite or H1Z1. H1Z1 just launched their Pro League. Now, they're only streaming on Facebook. I watched a little bit, but I forgot to see the viewer count, so I need to do that next week, because I would love to see the amount of people watching that on Facebook. I can't imagine it's too much, especially that it's H1Z1, but for some reason, they are still finding people to pay money and sponsor these events. This Pro League is so big that, A, it has big organizations in it. It actually has a player minimum salary of $50,000, which is the same for the Overwatch League. You can make the same amount of money playing H1Z1 than you can Overwatch.
That's crazy.
That blew my mind. Blew my mind when I read that.
Like $50,000 minimum, so you're saying people are making more than that? Like
minimum.
How much?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, geez,
the big ones, like, you know, like Choppy, or, you know, that's really the only,
look, all boxes, these games have boxes, found a way to be different enough where, and this kind of differs from what I said on the show last time, but I'm starting to realize it more, the more and more I even play Fortnite, because I've really enjoyed Fortnite, as you know, and all of these games are finding a way to be different enough to hold on to a player base. I mean, you look at even Halo and stuff like that now, it's not like these viewing bases are huge, but these games can continue to be a viable esport, at least for the time being. And the differences between PUBG, H1Z1, and Fortnite, like, they're pretty drastic. Like, they all feel like very, very different games. So they're all trying to, I guess, see what kind of market share they have. And, man, Fortnite, I think, will be huge when it launches into esports.
I mean,
you talk
about it will
be, because
you're definitely going to have Ninja being like a strong promoter for that, which that alone is going to get you like 200,000 people just to tune in.
Oh, you'll probably turn off his channel at that
point.
That's
why I said, like,
on a team,
Fortnite,
and make sure people are watching.
Is in no hurry, because whenever they decide to flip that switch and announce something, they're instantly going to be the more popular league or BG to watch, right? But I know back then we always discussed, like, oh, what's going to be the most popular one or anything like that? And I don't think that's part of the discussion anymore. You know, like, they're all going to be popular. H1Z1 has a pro league, for crying out loud, when everyone has called that game dead for, what,
over
a year
now? And now they're
launching
free-to-play on PlayStation, aren't they?
Yes, it's going free-to-play on PlayStation. Who knows how that's going to impact the Fortnite crowd, because, albeit there are, like Anuj just said, the games are different, right? You might want a little bit more of a running gun without all the, you know,
without all the building.
Yeah, without all the gumdrops and fireworks that Fortnite has. So they're going to appeal to different people. It's just, I think the discussion now is Battlegrounds has its own little corner for esports, and it's going to be not going anywhere anytime soon. Which, honestly, maybe I'm dumb, kind of surprised. When we first started seeing how you spectate these games for esports, it was not entertaining at all.
The crazy thing is, we've yet to see a AAA studio. And I guess Epic is
a
big one, you know.
AAA.
They are.
I don't know the definition
this game
of
to be a
AAA.
VR game, though. You know, but I'm talking about, like, Ubisoft, maybe EA, DICE, like these huge developers, or.
Well,
one of these
and
guys.
That's where you have coming up, though, right? Because you now have it all rumored that the new Call of Duty is going to have a Battle Royale. You're going to have Red Dead Redemption is going to have a Battle Royale. All these games now are now coming out with a game mode for Battle Royale.
See, but I'm waiting for, like, the actual, like, for one of them to actually just build a Battle Royale game. Like, it's going to be COD with a BR mode. It's going to be Red Dead Redemption with a BR mode. It's not going to be, like, the game. It'll be interesting to see when one of these guys...
I don't think you're going to see that, though, because these AAA developers don't operate like that, you know? Because even, look, I mean,
man,
like you just said,
so,
like,
money-oriented, though.
Yeah, there's, but, like, why make just a BR game when you can make Call of Duty with a BR mode in it? And then you have the best of both worlds, where you can charge people $60 for just a multiplayer game, which is probably what they're going to exactly do. I mean, you, like we said, even Epic did not make Fortnite to be a BR game. PUBG is the only one that has been solely designed for a Battle Royale purpose.
Yeah, and if somebody made, like, a, you know, more of a, what do you want to call it, like realistic shooter like PUBG. Like, I think PUBG could be swallowed up pretty quick because it still had so many optimization issues. Like, it still
does
in that sense.
Yeah.
And so I'm just surprised somebody hasn't come in and like wanted to steal that little nest egg, because that little nest egg is worth over $1 billion right there alone. I mean, PUBG has made a ton of money.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I've never worked at a AAA developer or any type of developer for that matter to really know what drives them. I just feel like that's something that to just design a BR game for them is not something that I would see a AAA developer doing.
Anything you can put loot boxes in.
Yeah.
Before they're illegal.
That's the mindset. Yeah. If you can put a loot box in it, it's doable for them.
So we'll see.
Yeah, EA will sign up.
We will see what happens with... So H1Z1 Pro League, that's going on right now. This PUBG Invitational is going on. I'm really waiting to see when Fortnite announces anything as far as if they do anything official. Which I feel like we're kind of at that stage now in esports, right? Where the developers take care of everything.
Yeah, look at the developer difference between Fortnite and CSGO.
I was going to say, I think Counter-Strike is kind of the last survivor when it comes to publicly ran events keeping the competitive scene alive.
Yeah.
As far as like with Valve not being involved nearly as much as you see these other ones. I mean, Paladins, for crying out loud, have a pro league, and that's completely 100% paid for by Hi-Rez. That is completely money-driven.
Yep. And it's its own game, too. Totally. Totally. It's...
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Another one. Totally its own. Which, funny enough, they're making a Battlegrounds version of it.
Oh.
Hi-Rez is making its own Battle Royale game based off of Paladins. So, again.
The hero base? Like...
Good mm-hmm. Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
It's ridiculous. No. But it's because, like, what effort does it take to make? I don't think it really takes that much effort if you just need to throw it out there. And...
Fortnite said it took them 2 months. Well, they obviously already had a base game, right? But right. It took them 2 months to really put
the But again, though, that goes to show why all these companies can do that, right? You make a base game, you put a small team on there. Hey, you got, 3 months to do this. Make something. Make a generic map. Figure out the loot, and there you go. So, like I said, I still don't I appreciate the popularity. I appreciate the fandom and how it brings people into esports that would never have any interest.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't appreciate... I don't hate the players. I hate the game. Okay? Does that make sense?
Mic drop. Yep.
That's my final word on that. Let's get into e-news. In CSGO, Anuj, you did some of these notes, so I'll introduce it. You give me more details. Splice dropped their CS team, huh?
Finally. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, they dropped their CS team. They just picked up, like, Rikke a few days ago, too, and now they announced that they're releasing everybody, and they are Dunsky. So Splice has now dropped out of Overwatch, and they have now dropped out of Counter-Strike. So,
what do they have?
COD.
I mean, are they con? Yeah, console. Like, because they're in the Gears of War scene, too, right? Like, I guess that's where they're just going to hang their hat.
That's where their focus is.
Let's see here. On their website... Right? They have
one Halo.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they just won Halo. So they have a Halo. They have Call of Duty, Rocket League, StarCraft, Paladins, as we mentioned, Smite, and League of Legends. Mainly console.
Yeah.
Console MOBA mix.
Yeah. So Splice is out of CS. You have Optic Gaming going into their full Danish roster. Obviously dropping Shazam and Stanislaw, so they've been kind of in that awkward stage of, like, people didn't even know if they were going to be a team anymore, and they ended up picking up a full Danish roster.
Yeah, and they picked up a couple guys from Heroic, Jugi and Snappy. They're coming as teammates. So that'll be pretty exciting for them.
So are they going to play in NA, or are they going to play in EU?
No, they're going to finish off the season in NA and then
officially
move back to EU. Because they got Cajun B also, so they got, you know.
That's a squad. Config, Cajun B, yeah.
And here's this. Envious will play in a relegation match against, how do you say it?
AGO.
Okay. To determine who drops to the Mountain Dew League.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
Pray for Envious.
Pray for
really
Envious.
Don't
Mike,
see that.
Mike, we're rooting for you, buddy.
Oh,
right.
Boy.
Trust me, we're really rooting for him.
He needs a win, man. He needs a win.
Mountain Dew League. Woo! Woo!
Which is also known as, like, what is the Premier or whatever. Not Premier. The, not Pro League. It's like the Premier League. It's like the second tier.
Yeah. I guess you could say
it's
that.
The one where Mythic plays in, so that would show you what level they're going to. So you don't want to see that happen.
It's
we want
triple
to see
A.
Happen,
it's triple A.
Triple.
Let's see here. In Call of Duty, last week we touched a little bit on the CW Seattle event that ended up happening. And stories out of there, EG were actually having the tournament of their life, only to get not only the brackets reset on them when they played Ryze in the finals, but Ryze ended up beating them. So Ryze ended up taking Seattle. Again, after all, every event in CWL seems to always happen where roster mania, rumors everywhere. I honestly thought by the time we did the show today, though, we would have had some news about Optic Gaming, considering those rumors have been flying around for a while now.
Yep.
But there is still nothing. And the rumors out there, dude, are insane. There's rumors that all four players are saying they want out of Optic. There's some saying that maybe it's just going to be Karma and Formal that leave. But even then, it might just be where everyone leaves the organization, but then two of them split up from the other two. It's think of any scenario, and that's
at this point, I would be like, dude, you know what? This generation of this game is almost over. Let's see if it works out in the next one. You
I
know?
Would
like,
love to have. Yeah. I, you know, we are not Call of Duty experts. I don't know every roster in and out.
Speak
I would
for yourself.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Why don't you close that Call of Duty Wikipedia page, okay?
I have that on both screens right now.
Anyways, I've always wondered the roster moves this late into the game's lifespan, right? Where it's like they were so dominant in previous iterations of Call of Duty. And then to blow up a roster that was known to be the best Call of Duty team of all time because of a World War II game. I don't know. To me, that's always interesting with the Call of Duty scene on how they're willing to blow up rosters that worked out so well in previous versions where it's like, I don't know, maybe you work out in the next one. Who knows? But the other interesting thing with all this drama going around the Optic Gaming Call of Duty roster is the Optic Gaming drama in general as an org. So, you know, recently Hex ended up selling the majority share to Infinite Esports. He's co-owner, but apparently, like, he doesn't have as much right, obviously. Like, he sold, like, 80% off or something like that. So he doesn't have as much swag in the organization. And there's rumors, man, saying that they want... Again, these are all rumors. But there's rumors saying that they want out of the console game in general, which is why they dropped their Halo team. And they just want to really focus on PC games, because that's where they feel like the future of esports is.
Can't blame them.
Don't really, I was going to say, can't really argue that. But for Optic to drop out of Call of Duty? Like, that
could be worse, man. Hex could be sleeping with your girl. So the owner is not doing that.
And, hey, Tim, you know, maybe you're reaching out to the wrong person for an Optic, you know. And,
maybe that's
or maybe this could be
your
clean slate. This is your clean slate with Optic.
Bro, I've given up on that one. I've given up on that. I'm letting the white whale get away. I will never interview Hex.
The white whale.
That bro wants nothing to do with this show. We've tried. I've talked to him. The guy said yes. And then still nothing. Stood me up when I was sitting outside his house, ready to take him to the dance.
And listeners, if you take anything away from the show, it's a big T in Optic, all right?
Big
T. Remember that.
I'll make excuses for Hex. He could have been having like a Dumb and Dumber moment in the bathroom, couldn't make it down. Like, it's all right.
In other news, Clutch 2018 happened this weekend. Only thing I'm going to take away from this, though, is Sonic Fox ended up winning the Dragon Ball FighterZ and Injustice 2 tournament. All cool, right? He's like one of the best in the fighting game communities. Cool, no big deal.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Except for the man did it while wearing a furry costume.
And so he, awesome,
with the,
dude.
He
normally,
with the head and all?
Yeah.
Yes, he normally, you know, wears like his little hat thing and a tail. And that's normally enough to set me off.
And the gloves.
He did a full-on head, arms, anything but the hands, because obviously he can't use a controller with wearing a furry hand.
Yeah. Is this more telling? Like, yeah, it's entertaining. Yeah, it's funny. But isn't this kind of telling on their scene? Like,
no,
you couldn't beat a guy wearing an effing, like, furry hat. Like,
I'm not going to deny the guy's skill. He is the best when it comes to that, right? Like, he is easily one of top five, one of the best fighting game players of all time. Okay? Not going to take that away from him. But in a world where men can marry men can turn into women can turn back into men, you can, like, marry your car if you wanted to, right? All this is normal, and we always have to accept it. And I 100% support all of that. There is not room in my life to support grown-ass adults wearing furry costumes. I can't do it. I don't have the energy to support this, and let alone he's the best in the scene. Like, that even drives me more insane. And I'm not the only one, because if, like, you watch the stream, like, you could tell the people he's sitting next to are like, really, dude?
What?
Really, man?
Okay. We're trying to make this into a scene. We're trying to make this serious. We're trying to become...
Like, imagine, he's at Evo, main stage, in the center of the arena, and he's wearing that. Yes, exactly. Like, what if he gets invited to, like, one of these TV events, and he's wearing that?
There's, like, E-League events. Like, you think anybody from E-League is going to be like, hey, Sonic Fox?
Bro, I hope so. Like, I'm not even going to, like, pretend to think that this is cool for the scene. It is 100% not cool for the scene. I cannot show any one of my friends who actually play, like, like the Dragon Ball Fighter game, and all of a sudden be like, yeah, bro, look, this is number one. He's the best in the world. As he's, like, jerking it to a fox with boobs.
But he did make us talk about this segment for 2 minutes longer than we would have.
But that's the problem, though. But we're not even talking about the games. Yeah, we're talking about how ridiculous it is that he's wearing that.
He should, like, keep adding on. Like, he should wear the gloves next time.
He said he's getting gloves. But he says he's not going to stop wearing the costume either. Like, am I a big jerk for this?
I mean, is this, like, a lifestyle thing? I mean, he, like, legit? Like, he thinks he's a...
Go on his Twitter. It's all, dude. All
right. For science.
The furry isn't a temporary lifestyle.
You live by it or you die by it.
There are two things in life that I will abandon my children for. Number one, if they're furries. And number two, if they're bronies. Number one and two. My child will get no pass in life. I will revoke his college fund. I will write him out of my will. If he wears a foxtail or watches Little Ponies, we're done. And I'm okay with saying that. I don't think I need to be Mr. 2018 Cool Tim here. I need Sonic Fox to get off my lawn right now. That's all I'm saying. And I think you guys are making me look like a jerk. But,
Well, be progressive, Tim.
No.
Something progressive, it's Happy Lesbian Visibility Day today.
Oh.
Hey, bro.
Oh, okay.
Every day is a lesbian visible day for me. You know what I'm saying? Unless they're fat.
Yep. All right. Oh no.
You can email us at Tim's personal email.
That will do it for us. Episode 102 in the books for the Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. We will be back next week when we start breaking down ESL Pro League, which we'll be at, by the way. I guess we forgot to mention that. But next week we'll start breaking down the European side of ESL Pro League, getting ready for the playoffs coming up in May. Hit us up on Twitter at the Center Ring. Let us know what you thought of the show. All that fun stuff. Our website, tcr.gg. Join us up in Discord. We're in there. We're cool. Say hi. You know, just leave your furry costume at home and you'll be cool. For Brett, for Anuj, I'm Tim. Bye.